Hello, and welcome to A Very Brad Pittcast Christmas.
That's such a good title. Dan dropped that on me like 4 seconds ago, and I'm still basking in the mastery of it.
The podcast is usually about Brad Pitt, but today is about...
It's still about Brad.
It's still about Brad.
But it's a festive Brad.
I'm Dan.
I'm Joseph. And we have been talking since the very first episode of this podcast about doing a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Because it barreled, you know... The days don't stop coming and they don't start coming.
They're going to continue.
They keep going.
Smash mouth.
We did say Ida the dog is here with us.
We should say a few things up front.
Go on.
We're going to eat on this episode.
Yes.
We're outside.
We're briefly going
to
eat
on this. People who are sensitive to sounds.
Yeah, sure.
Listen to the next episode.
Because we'll try and get it over and done with the eating. Mm. Right. Is it good?
Oh, excellent.
So when we talked about this Christmas episode, we said we were going to watch the film It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. Mm. We have not done that.
We've both seen the film before.
That film is like 2 hours and 40 minutes long, and it's been a tough week for everybody.
It's 3.5 hours, Joe.
Is it really?
It's 3 hours and 30 minutes.
That is
fucked up. It's a very
up.
Long film.
That is really fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, not a minute wasted.
Died as a drum.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we said we would do for the Christmas episode is buy each other presents, make a sundae in reference to The Irishman.
The Irishman. Sorry.
And sit outside.
Oh, I've got sundae on her.
I dropped sundae on my own dog. She's got ice cream on her head. Are you alright?
You can hear her sniffing, probably.
So we're outside. We're joined by Ida. She does this, Dan. This is what happens when you have a dog. They they follow you outside.
You can hear the sundae. I'm going to take my sundae off the table because it's very loud in the mic.
Talk about what's in the sundae. So I wanted it to be in sundae glasses.
Very good. I think I've lost my cherry. I think it was a cherry in here, but it's melted into it.
That is a pun. A pun intended.
Oh, yeah. God damn.
We said when we watched the Irishman
that
episode.
That was not intentional.
It was good. Someone will clip that and use it out of context.
Oh, no.
In a trial against it. We said on the Irishman episode, your major takeaway from the Irishman was it would be really nice to eat a sundae in a sundae glass.
Incredible. Watching Al Pacino enjoy his sundaes was like nothing else. It was visceral.
Well, because he says to Peggy, he says,
this is just for us.
This is just you and me.
And that's what we're all about.
This
just
is just
me
for
and
us.
Joseph.
So what it is because I didn't get sundaes, it's in a jam jar, which kind of looks kind of artisan.
It's something you could get at an Inner West coffee shop that goes out of business in... You know.
6 months.
6 months.
I grew up in the UK, and in the UK we have something called an Eton mess. Do you know
I've
Eton
heard
mess?
Of it. Got like pavlova in it or something?
Yeah, it's like crushed up pavlova in a whole bunch of like cream and ice cream.
Incredible.
It's a little bit what this resembles. So
for
the listener, it's a jam jar filled with several different kinds of ice cream. There's very loud music. We are sitting outside. We knew that there would be music. Mm. I hope the audio quality is not unlistenable.
Me too.
My feeling was just that, you know, it's nice
festive,
to get the natural ambience. Yeah.
If you're not on board, there's plenty of other episodes of the Brad Pitt cast to listen to.
And we love
you. Back catalogue. And we do love you regardless.
Now, Dan is one thing that is probably true of Dan. I feel slightly less true of me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you have... You care deeply about, like, nice food.
Yeah, I do. It's important to me. It's, for long portions of my life, and still the case to some extent, although a little less so as I grow older, if I was going out to dinner with someone or a group of people, it is rare... Like, if it's cancelled, the thing I'm upset about is that I'm no longer going to a restaurant. Almost exclusively. No matter how close or dear the person is to me, what I'm excited about...
Is the food.
Going to a restaurant
and
eating some
and
food.
And new food? Is it because it's like, I haven't tried this food? Or can you get the same joy from that restaurant a number of times?
New food is ideal. Some restaurants
sure.
I can get the same joy from a number of times. I just love... Just the delight of having a meal prepared for and brought to me and something that will taste delicious. And that I'll be able to like choose from a menu of items. Maybe multiple things as well. The best case scenario, we have, you know...
Sharing.
Hors d'oeuvres, entrees. Sharing is it. Yeah, all I want is sharing.
And you're not snobby about it. Like, you like McDonald's quite a lot, don't you?
Well...
No?
I do. No, I do. You know what? I had McDonald's for lunch. I'm not going to lie. The reason I did, I had my last therapy appointment for the year.
Hey!
I thought about whether to say that or not.
Festive episode
she's
of the Brad
she's going
Pitt
on holiday.
Cast. We're revealing all.
And I was like, I'm going to go get McDonald's.
You know David Lynch for like a number of years.
Bob's Big Boys
and the Filet-O-Fish burger at McDonald's.
Really?
If you watch the Criterion Blu-ray of Blue Velvet, there's a documentary called The Making of Love on that, which you should really, really watch.
Okay, I will.
And he talks about how much he loves the Filet-O-Fish.
That's insane.
From McDonald's.
No, but I enjoy it. I'm not snobby about food.
No.
I really enjoy buffets. But I am also like, if you take me to $150 degustation, I will be having the time of my life as well.
Sure, really?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, I love that shit. I'm not doing that all the time. But it's, to me, that's generally, if it's a decent place, that's worth it.
Yeah.
The restaurant in Sydney that I've been to a few times that are very expensive and they're absolutely worth it. I'm not rich, but I'm happy to spend money on food.
I
found the cherry.
You got it? Mm-hmm. Found your cherry? I was going to put, but I've eaten my sundae and I feel quite a little bit sick. I did want some ASMR whipped cream sound, so I might do that.
Okay.
Here we go,
I'm going to put mine aside for a second.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear that? Dan has the cans on.
I can definitely hear it. Joe is spraying the
don't, I find ASMR really creepy.
Some people love it.
I can't do it. I find it deeply unsettling.
I get it. There's a large market for it on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's what we should be.
we could definitely make more money. Well, we could make money, rather. I'll correct that. You know, I'm just having fun.
I know. She's running around now.
Hey, buddy. Good girl.
You're right.
You okay? Just saying hello.
I have a very visceral memory about whipped cream because when I was growing up...
God, you can really hear that.
Sorry. When I was growing up in the UK, there were boys who lived... There was a family with six boys who lived two doors up from me. Mm-hmm. And the boys loved... They were a bit older than me, so they loved wrestling. They loved South Park. Uh-huh. They had an N64. So going over to the boys was a great treat. Is she breathing right on the mic?
Yeah, it's not me. It's Ida breathing on the mic.
What's
what are you
up?
Doing?
She wants some ice cream. And the boys mostly ignored me because they were older than me and I was kind of the irritating younger kid. But I thought they were so cool. And I thought wrestling was so cool and South Park was so cool.
Sure.
And the youngest of the boys, Drew... come here. Do you need to get away from the mic so people don't get, like, terrible ASMR? Brianna Elton is here.
Hello.
Brianna, come say hello on the festive Christmas episode.
I'm coming.
She's slowly walking across with no sense of urgency whatsoever.
I've actually just come to get the whipped cream.
Have you really?
Take it.
Yeah.
You're the funniest. Say hello to the listeners of the Brad Pitt Cast.
Hello. Two of you.
What the fuck did you
just say?
I'm cutting that out.
Otherwise.
God damn.
Bye, Brianna. Merry Christmas.
Bye,
just enjoy the whipped cream, Brianna. Drew, the youngest of the boys. I remember once we were at a party and my mum... What's wrong? The music.
It sounds like we are ending a... Nicholas Sparks, a film based on Nicholas Sparks novel. So, like, this is the end.
Are we going to get copyright struck?
Oh, that could... That would be hilarious.
Surely not.
We don't even know what it is. That would be so funny.
What would we do? Be in trouble.
Well, we could distribute it through other means. We could say, here's a torrent of this episode of the Brad Pitt Cast if you want to access it, but you can't via the podcast feed.
That's so funny. Drew... I also realised that we can't really say anything that we'll need to cut out because there's no, like, the background noise is not level.
That's true.
So
it will sound.
So, really, so Dan, be on your best behaviour.
Yeah, I'll stop slurring people.
Yeah.
I'll stop slandering
Peter
the famous.
It's you that I have to cut out.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, not me. Drew, the youngest son. We were at this party and my mum was not letting me have any whipped cream and he could have whipped cream because his mum didn't give a shit. And so he was pouring the whipped cream directly into his mouth and I had to sit there and be like,
traumatizing.
No whipped cream for me. And I remember thinking, maybe whipped cream is the tastiest because I had a little
bit. Yeah.
And I was like, maybe this is the tastiest thing that exists.
Forbidden fruit.
We are here. We have a pile of presents sitting next to the microphone.
I can't believe it.
What I thought we'd do first,
uh-huh.
because this is our reflection end of year,
yeah.
I thought I have a list of my top 10 films of the year.
Wonderful.
And I also have my top 10 films of the decade.
I wanna
if
hear
you
them.
Want that, or if that's a bit much. You also have a list. Do you want to debut your list first? Or do you want me to?
Joe, Dan, Joe, if you've got
fantastic,
two lists.
Fantastic. Shall I do films of the year first?
Yeah.
I've said it before. this year, not a very good year for
cinema. Wait, can I was going to say, can I guess? But now I'm not sure. That might be less fun.
Please do. Please guess. I've told you some of them, so you know some.
I mean, I'll know some.
I've got 10. Go on. You could probably guess most of these.
Well, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
Ad Astra. Sorry. I don't know why I said that. I didn't mean that. I don't know. I had it in my mind as in definitely not Ad Astra.
That's right. And then I said it.
I was saying not Ad Astra. Can't cut that out. What a fool I'll look. Us.
Yep.
Ford vs Ferrari. Just a joke. Six Underground will be on there.
Yes.
Dragged Across Concrete.
Yes. What's number one? Obviously. It was number one from the moment I saw it. It's probably quite high in my list of the decade.
Did we see it together?
Yes. You laughed at a scene that nobody else laughed at. We were referencing it like 15 minutes ago inside. That's all I talk about, Dan. She wears a Frau crown.
Oh, Midsommar, of course. Yeah. What scene did I laugh at again? Have we said this on the podcast? Yeah,
when Jack Raynor is like, that was really shocking.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I don't have a good memory for movies, it turns out.
You're discovering that in the process of doing this
podcast.
Do you want me to do my 10 in order?
Yeah, please. Midsommar's number one, yeah.
Midsommar number
Once Upon a Time is two?
No.
What's two? You really like that film.
I do really like that film, but two is a film that I like more.
Mm-hmm.
You know that I like it more, because I talk about the filmmaker all the time.
Okay.
Dragged Across Concrete.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
Midsommar, Dragged Across Concrete, Six Underground.
Wow!
Six Underground I've returned to twice.
Crazy!
Now. I know, I realize we haven't said this. We watched it last week together.
Yeah.
I just think it's a masterpiece. I think it's
That's crazy.
You don't think so?
No. I really like it.
You do.
It's too silly.
It's not silly.
I care so much about tight dialogue.
Sure.
And there's sentences in that I could clean up.
Sure.
And that's...
Can't you do...
I can't look past that.
Yeah, well, you can't, like, create a visual... The dog's legs are shaking. Ida, do you want to go inside? She's very old. Ida, come here. Come here. No, she says there might be ice cream around. Depraved. The Larry Fessenden film.
Okay. I remember you seeing that at the film festival, right?
Yeah, it really uplifted me. Larry Fessenden's the king. He's one of my personal idols.
Is High Life on there?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Us.
Yep.
The Irishman.
Yep.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yep.
That feels like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is low.
I'm surprised
all of those films I love.
You're just saying it's been a bad year for cinema, which I do not understand.
I just hated most of the films that we're going to have to talk about over awards season.
Okay.
And I don't like Marriage Story.
Sure.
I really didn't like Knives Out. I thought Knives Out was woeful.
I've been baffled by the number of people who think, calling it smart.
I think it's a half-star film.
I don't understand.
I think it's racist
one and, a half
and
stars.
Offensive. I think it's unfunny. What? Do you want us to go there?
No. I just said it's 1.5 stars, and then you said it's racist, which makes me sound like I'm giving a star and a half to racism.
High Life.
Yeah.
Pain and Glory, the Pedro Almodóvar film.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I really want to see it.
Real good.
Okay.
A film about not really spoiler alert, but a film about someone getting their life back on track.
Okay.
And it's amazing how rare those films
are. Yeah, it's true.
Glass, the M. Night Shyamalan film.
Sure.
So incredible.
Yeah.
Redacted gets redacted in a redacted. You haven't seen it, and I don't want to spoil it, but you should see it for what I just referenced.
Okay.
And Avengement. Straight to Netflix film starring Scott Adkins. Do you know Scott Adkins?
No.
He's like a martial arts star. He's like our new Steven Seagal.
Would I like Revengement?
Avengement.
Avengement. Sorry.
Please. Possibly.
Okay.
It's quite violent.
All right.
Actually, no. What am I talking about? You wouldn't.
Thank
you.
I
learned my lesson from California. You absolutely wouldn't. Rihanna just messaged, sorry I said there's two listeners on your podcast. I'm sure there is more.
There are more than
we
two.
Know there's more, know. Rihanna. She's just rude. All right, go on.
Oh,
your list.
Well, how about I quickly... So, it's funny, it feels unoriginal, but if I were to give my five best films
of the year... Sure, I'd love that.
I saw Burning this year and it was released in Australian cinemas this year.
Sure. Is Burning the top of that list?
It might be the best film I've seen this year.
Sure.
Monrovia, Indiana is number one. The Frederick Wiseman film.
I haven't seen it.
That was my best time at cinema. Monrovia, Indiana, High Life.
This music is so funny.
It is amazing. We
How
should
loud
do this more
is
often.
It in the mix?
It's not actually... It's not coming in through the headphones as that loud.
Okay.
Monrovia, Indiana, High Life.
Sure. You did adore High Life.
I really had a great time with High Life. It speaks to our differences, the differences in our movie-going practices that I have not watched either of those films again.
That's crazy to me. You should really watch them both again. Burning is... Oh, I guess Burning is subtitled. It's not easy to have it on
Monrovia, Indiana, High Life, Burning. I really liked... her smell.
Yeah, sure.
That might be in my top five.
Sure. Although it's got a bad child actor in it.
And The Irishman.
Sure.
In no particular order.
No, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood doesn't make the cut.
You could replace Her Smell with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I think Her Smell is a 3.5-star film. I like it fine.
That's interesting. I like the first sequence so much.
It's very good. It's very good.
I accept that the other acts do not live up to it at all, but the first sequence blew my mind.
I think about the ending quite a lot. When she's like, one performance, that's it.
Yeah.
There's some really good decisions in that moment. Film. There is.
I'm just coming up with those off the top of my head. If I'd kept my letterbox up to date, I'd have a better idea.
I don't want to even look in your eyes, Dan Dixon.
But I haven't.
Shall I do my decade, or do you want to
I've got a list of things of the decade.
Go on, hit me up with your things of the decade. How many are there? Could I guess?
Most of it's music.
Sure.
Or stuff I've discovered. It's sure. pretty short. It's like, this was a... I was like, I was just going to put together a list in the Notes app on my iPhone of objects of the 2010s, quickly noted some stuff down, and, like, this is not exhaustive or deliberate. There are things that are missing.
Can I guess?
You can guess.
Carrie and Lowell?
Yes.
Big Thief? Any yes. album in particular? The first one?
It's just Big Thief.
Sure. Hollywood Handbook?
Yes. Hollywood Handbook is the best podcast. Hollywood
it's
Handbook.
Not better than this one, but I understand what you're saying.
I mean, the Brad Pitt cast is in another realm, but Hollywood Handbook, I would say, if we're excluding the Brad Pitt cast, is the only good podcast. And I think it's a travesty.
I never listened to it. I have to listen to it.
The other one is The Best Show with Tom Sharpling. That's the other good podcast. I'm not going to bother explaining that, but it's probably too late to get into for anyone who's not into it. But the Hollywood Handbook is an unbelievably transcendent work of art that you need to go back to the beginning and pay a subscription for to get access to in order to fully understand its genius. But, it's the height of comedy for me.
Yeah.
It's an utterly perfect expression of comedic possibility, and there's nothing like it. I believe very strongly in that film. Nothing makes me happier than that podcast.
I have to listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You like Frank Ocean. Is Frank Ocean
Frank there? Ocean's on there. Well done.
Sure. The Succession?
No, actually.
Would it be that?
Yeah. So I love Succession, the HBO series. I tend to get really into shows when I'm watching them.
Sure.
And then afterwards I'll look back and be like, that was okay. Succession I have had an absolutely amazing time with, and there's moments in it that are extraordinary, but and this is the thing with TV, right? Is that the keeper from The Exorcist?
The music is insane. I'm sorry if it's very loud.
I'm really enjoying it. I will enjoy something so much more for being in it. It's enjoying. It would be like the difference between being in a large group of friends hanging out late at night, wandering the streets, and seeing that from an external point of view.
Sure.
And I think maybe looking at Succession more objectively in a year or two outside it, I'd be like, there's some really excellent parts of that, and parts where it just doesn't work. But in it, it's a total joy.
Sure. That's why Twin Peaks The Return is so important.
Also
right?
on the list.
Because it's incredible to experience when you're in it, and then you look back and it's even better.
Yeah, Twin Peaks The Return, one of the... Yeah,
that's what we share, right? That's definitely one of my things of the day.
It is, and I think it's interesting to think about our shared love of that, given our differences in the art we like. Because I think
because we see the same... I mean, I don't actually think a Lynch podcast... Because he makes the same thing over and over again. There's not the joy of doing Brad Pitt is you're talking about...
Totally
wildly
different
aspects of the same person. But I think it's very interesting that for our clearly very divergent tastes, we both really like Lynch.
Yeah.
And I like Lynch because I think he's a complete mess and completely inscrutable, and I'm sure you like him almost for the opposite reason. Or not that
I think he has a clear
reason.
Vision.
Sure, which I do not think he has.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. What else is on your list? I don't know if I could guess anymore.
Ben Lerner.
Oh, of course.
Author of Leaving the Atocha Station.
Of course.
10:04 in the Topeka School.
Gilead? Is Gilead this decade? Marilyn Robinson?
Maybe.
I think
it's 2004.
Okay, sure.
Rachel Cusk?
Sure. You love Cusk.
Yeah, specifically the Outline Trilogy. Sure. Elif Batuman, author of The Idiot and the Possessed.
Sure.
That, I think, The Idiot is one of the funniest novels in English in the
Idiot
last...
Idiot is incredible.
And The Possessed is amazing too.
Yeah.
Although it recycled. Well, The Idiot recycled stuff from The Possessed.
Very weird.
Both unbelievable books.
Yeah.
Frank Ocean. Elliot Weinberger.
I don't know him.
He's an essayist.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Moshfegh's not on your list?
No.
You had problems with My Years in Rest and Relaxation?
Yeah, I don't think it's as clever as it thinks it is.
I like My Years in Rest and Relaxation very much.
I think it's fine. Probably I think it's a really excellent premise, and I think it's too darkly obsessed with itself. It's too masturbatory.
Sure.
But it's good.
That makes sense.
Call Me By Your Name.
Sure.
And finally, that scene from Spring Breakers where James Franco sings every time.
Also, all of Spring Breakers, right? No?
All of Spring Breakers is like B+. And that scene from Spring Breakers where James Franco sings every time is...
It's unbelievable.
As good as art gets.
I genuinely think that's true.
Interesting intersection of our taste, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's insane. That works because it's insane.
I love that so much. Yeah,
it's insane. Do you want me to do my films? Because I'm aware we've got to get onto these presents.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know.
Let's go.
There's a lot of them.
There's too many.
All right, are you ready? Mine. Could you guess? This is the decade. I have 15 on here. Could you guess any of them? I mean, we've talked about Midsommar. I'll give you that one.
Hereditary.
No.
Really?
Not here in top 15. 15 is hard.
15 of 10 years. Yeah, you're like one and a half a year, right? Films.
Yeah. It's hard. I love Hereditary. You can surely guess one of them. Because I made you watch it. And you said this was a Joe film. Birth is 2004.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Same director, though.
Drag Me to Hell?
Same director as Birth.
Oh, sorry. Same director. Oh, Under the Skin. I didn't register that. Under the Skin. Of course Under the Skin is in there.
Do you want me to do
love Under the Skin. Yeah. Also, when you said I made you watch it, I was thinking of watching something with you. I didn't watch Under the Skin with you. You recommended it and I watched it.
Sure.
Yeah, what are the others?
What's number one? You know, because I've said it.
Midsommar.
No. Refers to this podcast that we do. We will cover this film.
Oh, of course. Killing Them Softly.
Number one, Killing Them Softly. Number two, Sleeping Beauty, the Julia Lee film. Have you seen that Australian film?
I should say that.
I would be fascinated. I can't predict what you'd say about that film.
Yeah.
It's very cruel.
Okay.
But extremely deliberate and considered. But the cruelty
Why
might be
Australian
too much
Australian film
for you.
So cruel?
Julia Lee, right, the director of that film, she's a novelist too. Like, we turned our backs on her in a way that is very embarrassing. Like, she should really be one of our most esteemed creators. And she stepped away to have a kid. She read a book about that experience. But, like, we did not look after her in the way that we should. Julia, if you're listening to this podcast,
sorry.
You're the best.
Yeah.
And also, sorry. Three, Under the Skin, Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah,
four, I don't know if you've heard me talk about this film, but real important to me. Holiday by Isabella Eklof.
No, nothing about it.
Sure. Fantastic film about a woman who is the girlfriend of a drug dealer and goes on holiday with the drug dealers.
Is it European?
Yes, yes. Eklof, I've interviewed her. She's so smart. That film never got distribution in the States. I was lucky enough to see it because I interviewed her.
Wow.
It's a crime how underseen that film is. Holy Motors by Leon
Skorax.
Oh,
yeah. I worry about that film because I know it stars someone who I saw in a film I saw this year, The Mountain, which I hated specifically because of his performance.
Denis Levant.
It was an... The Mountain was a terrible film, but he just dragged it.
You will love Holy Motors. There's no doubt you'll love Holy Motors.
I remember seeing a trailer for it and thinking it looked entrancing.
Yeah, you'll definitely love it. Six, Upgrade, the Lee Whannell film.
Sure.
Lee Whannell is one of my heroes, Australian, created the Saw franchise, wrote the Insidious movies. Number seven... You know, I was thinking, of all the films that, like, really matter to me, like, constitute who I am as a person, this is the one film I don't think I could convince you to watch.
Okay.
Final Destination 5.
Yeah, just too much
it's
viscera.
It's so good. Read the Wikipedia entry on Final Destination 5.
Could you just tell me when to cover my eyes?
You would miss the point of the film, in a serious way.
I know that people are killed in manners that relate to their various avoidances of death, right?
It's not so much... So the idea is that one of them gets deja vu, they all get saved from death, and so now to ensure that life goes on properly, death kills them. So it's like a slasher where the villain is death,
if
which is of course what all slashers are.
Planning on watching any of the Final Destination movies, skip forward a minute. Does anyone ever actually avoid death in the Final Destination films?
Yes. Except for... I don't know if I can tell you this. I should tell you this. If you don't want to know about Final Destination 5, the seventh best film of the decade, skip forward a minute. Final Destination 5 is... So do you know anything about the plot of the first film? First Final
only
Destination?
Only what I've already told
Happens
you.
Happens on a plane.
Okay.
It's a school trip, and a kid freaks out, and he's on a plane. And because what the Final Destination movies always do is you see his plane go down, you see everyone die,
yeah.
And then you cut, and you realize that it's in his head. And he freaks out, and he gets everyone off the plane. So the first Final Destination movie is hunting down these death, like getting these people who got off the plane accident. So 5 is a bridge collapse, so it's much like Bigger Spectacle. So this group of kids escape, and one by one they're picked off. And then you get down to the last three, And
this music is...
It's insane. It's kind of great. I think I love it.
I'm really on board.
So you're left with a trio of survivors at the end of Final Destination 5, and they're like, whoa, that was fucked up. Let's go somewhere to get it out of our heads. And they go on a plane, and then they see someone freaking out, and they're like, who's that freaking out? And you realize that Final Destination 5 has been a prequel, yeah. And you're now intersecting with the first film. And then there's a gag on top of that, which I definitely can't spoil. But no, they always... Death always gets them in the end.
Okay.
Because that's the point of the series, right? It's yeah. about the fact that's the inevitability of death. I'm going to blast through the rest real quickly. Universal Soldier, Day of Reckoning. You should really, really watch that film. You should really watch that film. The Counselor.
Yeah, I saw one of the trio of films I've seen by myself in the States.
Which you're going to add Uncut Gems to.
I'm planning to. I'm going to America in January, and Uncut Gems is on the cards. Because weird Australian release. It's releasing on Christmas Day, and it's got the most
actually
money.
It's released now on January 31st in Australia.
Oh, that sucks. But it's releasing on Christmas Day in America, so it should still be on when I'm there.
Yeah. And Adam Sandler will be nominated for an Oscar, so yeah. It will be around. The Master.
Yep, of course.
That's my favourite PTA film. Chirac, the Spike Lee film.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. Depraved, Larry Fessenden.
Yep. Huh.
Let's do
Was
presents.
That your number... Wait. What was that in your films of the year?
It's messed up. That okay, that's fine.
I don't
want to...
Yeah. That's like, I don't... It's like, I understand how these things work.
I just make the list.
I know what you mean.
I can't tell you.
No, follow. I believe you.
All right, there's a stack of presents sitting next to the
So I just want to say... For any doubters, that I ordered my present at a reasonable time, and it's supposed to arrive tomorrow.
That's fine.
So if I have a present.
Dan has a present for me. We'll do it on a future episode. It'll break up this amazing content. This is the first present that I bought. It's a standalone present.
Are you going to tell me anything about these presents?
This next pile, I'll have to introduce. This one you just have to open. And open it so we can hear it on the mic. Ida loves wrapping paper. Do you know that about Ida?
I do now. She's sniffing at it.
You have to throw it on the ground and she'll tear it up and have a great time.
Is that, I'm allowed to do that? It won't
Absolutely.
Hurt her?
She won't eat it. She just tears it up. She thinks she's being very funny.
You're really sniffing my arm, aren't you?
Yeah, she wants to know what you got.
She's really wrapped this present. There you go, Ida. What are you doing? You're still sniffing me. Oh my god.
So explain to the listener what it is. Ida's going to tear the
paper
in the
It's a book with a dedication. And I will read you I'll open it. And I'll read you what's on the first page. So this is not actually the first page of the book. It's rather the, like, opening kind of blurb. Here's everything you want to know about Brad Pitt, his house. It's a turn-of-the-century mansion high up in the Hollywood Hills, previously owned by a campy TV horror show hostess. Do you think that was...
PTA's father?
Yeah.
Or Elvira?
Elvira.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was Elvira. Campy TV horror show host. It's got to be Elvira.
That music is getting louder.
Secluded by, it's coming to get us.
Yeah.
Secluded behind... This is the end how the Brad Pitt cast ends.
Getting killed by the music.
Secluded behind a green iron gate and dense shrubbery. You'll find out... how this hideaway style holds most of his very personal secrets. His lifestyle, from driving like a bat out of hell around Los Angeles to dropping in on Johnny Depp's LA Viper room, does he really, yeah, have only one thing on his mind, and it's not hanging out with the guys. His women. It's said he falls in love oh so easily. He's gone with good girls and bad girls, wild sisters and sweet homebodies. But which kind of lady catches his eye, and who will be most likely to keep hold of his heart? Maybe you. It doesn't say that. I added that bit.
Okay.
I mean, then maybe you. His sex appeal. A tall, lanky, blue-eyed blonde. He's got one of the hunkiest bodies to hit the silver screen in years. But are those sultry, sensual looks just part of the public role he plays? Or is he still sexy when the cameras aren't rolling?
So the book,
is called Brad Pitt. It's by Chris Nixon.
And do you know when that book was written?
It's got to be early 90s.
Just while Seven is being made.
Oh, crazy.
So very early. We've almost overtaken where this book follows in his story.
It's
this brand of book that you don't get anymore.
It's 215 pages.
With very big text.
It's big, but it's big and small pages. It's also got pictures.
And Brad
picture
is...
Him with Juliette Lewis?
Yeah. Brad is looking smoking
chapters.
In some of
these... The chapters are just named for the numbers.
So
the first sentence. Let me read the first
sentence. Yeah, please do. There's a line I want to call out.
William Bradley Pitt.
Yeah, Bradley J. Pitts.
Came into the world in Shawnee, Oklahoma on December 18, 1963. It was a time of flux in America.
It's fucking Dickens, Dan. We're going wide.
It's Tom Wolfe. Just a few weeks before. It's in cold blood. It's Truman Cody. Just a few weeks before John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. And in a couple of months, the Beatles would appear on the Ed Sullivan Show and begin the process of social revolution.
What day did you say he was born?
December 18th, 1960.
Oh, wow. Is today Brad Pitt's birthday?
No, not quite. 2 days.
Holy moly. Happy birthday in 2 days, Brad Pitt.
That's exciting.
It's great. I wanted to call out some lines from this book.
Yeah,
so this is the kind of book they don't make anymore. It's these books that you sell for teenagers that are like Wikipedia entries now.
Yeah.
Like bloated Wikipedia entries. There are a couple of lines that I thought...
the cover. Can you please post a cover on the Twitter account?
I absolutely will. Here we go. Because some of it is actually genuinely interesting. I think you'll find it interesting.
I'm going to read this book.
Of course you are. There's far more to Brad Pitt than meets the eye. There's the man who keeps a sketchbook by his side virtually all the time.
Oh, that's interesting.
And is obsessed with making architectural drawings. Didn't
do
know that.
It's
genuinely
real?
Didn't
I mean,
know.
I do, because he now moves in LA art, the LA art scene, which is interesting. So
then there's the man who prefers music to movies with hundreds of CDs and a room full of guitars and recording equipment in his house.
That doesn't
Who would still me. Love to be a rock and roll star.
How do you think Brad Pitt would have done in A Star Is Born?
Oh. That's a really interesting question. I think you could do it.
I think it would be it would be quite different.
Well, you know when they wanted to, when Clint Eastwood was going to direct that movie, it was going to be Leonardo DiCaprio and Beyonce.
Oh.
Can you imagine? What kind of world do we live in with that film?
Yeah, I think Trump didn't get elected.
No.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying things are radically
wildly
different.
Wildly different.
Yeah.
This is the craziest thing. Or the avid reader, or the guy who just wants to be, in quotation marks, out cutting up, and the one who collects antique glass and handcrafted furniture.
Maybe he just has... Maybe there's just, like, a picture in his... Like, this is not... I mean, it doesn't even say the unauthorized biography.
No.
It's not even at that level.
It's there's no original interviews conducted
for
this book.
Also, the subtitle of this book on the back is Brad Pitt, What Makes Him So Sexy? Which is a good question.
I think when we need more content, we should dip into that book. Well, I mean, when we do The Seven, like, when we can do future episodes, we can read it.
I'm all right with that.
Now, the rest of your presents are all of a theme. They've been carefully curated. Now, if you've listened to the podcast from the beginning, thank you, we love you.
Yeah.
You'll know very early on, one of the things that we said about Dan in, like, a second or a third episode is that he has a demented DVD collection. Can you just run through what's in your DVD collection again? Most
I've
of
got
the
a couple
of
Wes
of
Anderson
Wire.
Films. I've got four seasons of The Wire. I've got the Trumbo.
The biopic of Dalton Trumbo, the screenwriter starring Bryan Cranston.
The French film about the prisoner.
Yeah, A Man Escapes.
A Man Escapes.
Bresson.
Bresson, the Bresson A Man Escape. The Front Runner.
Yeah, the Hugh Jackman
I mean, these are mostly
comedy.
Gifts. Like, these are all fine things to have. The big Short, the Royal Tenenbaums. I actually have Inland Empire, which wasn't on the shelf.
Amazing,
yeah.
Demented. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to add to that collection in a way that references the podcast, but remains demented. And you know what I found? It's very hard to curate a demented DVD collection. Because what I could have done is gone into JB Hi-Fi and just bought you all the Boomer movies. But that's not demented. That's just a collection of a Boomer. So you have to curate something that appeals to no demographic, that feels like not the work of one person.
Yeah.
So they're arranged in order. They start the most sensible.
This is insane.
And then we go weirder and weirder. I numbered them to make sure
I was not
have
expecting this,
effect.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I'm excited for you to watch all these movies. It also means you have a lot of movies.
So these
to
are
watch.
All movies worth watching.
Oh, sure. Just demented. So this is package number one that Dan's
opened. I just checking it out.
I just real excited. This is the best
one.
Oh,
John Carpenter's The Thing.
John Carpenter's The Thing.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
A pleasure.
Incredible.
What else is in the package?
Alien.
Ridley Scott's
Ridley
Alien.
Scott. Oh, now she's eaten the...
So two films that we've talked about
films.
The fact that you haven't seen and you need to see.
Yeah.
You made a very funny joke about The Thing, so you deserve to honour yourself.
I appreciate
to
that. I'll
watch
check
the
them
thing.
Out. I'm really excited about both those films.
Pleasure.
Putting
number
on
two.
Top of the
so
Brad
here
Pitt
we go.
Book.
We're going... This is... Each one is stepping up a little bit.
Okay, perfect.
Hello, Ida. Yeah, this was hard. I really struggled to keep it demented.
Oh, that's my phone buzzing. Oh, no, it's not my phone buzzing.
Is it my
it's
phone
It's yours,
buzzing?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Mine's on. Mine's
it
on
is. It's my dad.
That is demented. Fury, starring Brad Pitt, which I won't be able to watch. Well, I haven't seen before. That is exciting.
Why wouldn't you able to watch it?
Until we get to it.
Yeah,
I guess
sure.
I could watch it before.
You could. So it's
but
Brad
now
Pitt
have
in
a
tank.
Yeah, they're insane. The only quote on the front is an unforgettable viewing experience by Filmink, which is very funny because that says nothing about the value of the film.
I mean,
On the back, they've got a quote from ABC Radio. Pitt is absolutely sensational. And then from the Today Show, No, Peter's absolutely sensational as the Today Show. With the West Australian, 4 stars.
4 stars?
From the West Australian.
Does it have special features?
Blu-ray exclusive over 50 minutes of deleted and extended scenes.
Whoa.
Director's Combat Journal.
Whoa.
Armored Warriors, The Real Men Inside the Shermans.
Oh.
Taming the Beasts, How to Drive, Fire and Shoot Inside the 30-ton Tank. That will come in useful for when we have to acquire a tank in order to defend ourselves. Also includes Blood Brothers. Cast and crew discuss the harrowing experience of filming in a tank together.
God damn.
That's what you want to hear about, a filmmaking experience. It's harrowing.
You know who directed that film?
I
David
don't,
Ayer. He made Suicide Squad.
Oh, dear.
And he is...
bad guy, right?
He's definitely right-wing. I mean, he's made a film about how great LAPD cops are. So.
What do you think Brad Pitt is thinking when he's being directed in that way?
I don't know.
Okay.
Ayer is... I mean, we'll get to him, but he's off chops. What's the other in that collection?
Troy.
Also starring Bradley J. Pitts, directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
Incredible.
What are the special features?
The special features are languages, English, subtitles, English, Greek, and English for the hearing impaired. I think that's it.
Yeah, incredible.
It's 157 minutes. I saw this at the cinema with my mother and remember quite liking it.
Did she like it?
I think she did, yeah.
Hayley, friend of the show, was telling me the other day the insane viewing experience she had with Troy. Just that it's like...
I think it's a psychotic film.
Yeah.
Because it also gets rid of the gods, right?
Yeah.
So it does. It tries to do it with that, which is
around.
So... And like, I think it... Yeah. It has moments of like fate intervening.
Yeah.
But it's not actually... Because I guess it's trying to be realistic.
I don't know what is going on in that film.
Package Achilles number is just 3. Like a big guy. Thank you.
Yeah, a pleasure.
This is too much, Joe. I mean, I'm overwhelmed and like...
Is this one crazy too? The last one's the one that gave me the most joy. But they're all demented, right?
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs.
Thank you so much. Another film I've not yet seen.
Yeah, that you really need to see.
I should see it. I mean, this is just a curricula of films. It was,
But demented. Imagine those fitting in with Wes Anderson
crazy.
Films.
Where will I put them?
Yeah.
No, it'll be good. I'll have to get a new shelf and I'll line them all up together. And people who come to my place will think I'm deranged.
They'll be like, be careful.
Oh, yeah. Another, I mean, you know what? They'll also think I'm obsessed with Brad Pitt before.
Which you know.
I mean.
The film Allied, you should say, is the one that you
The film Allied starring Brad Pitt and Marianne Cotillard.
You know something about Cotillard?
Mm?
She thinks 9/11 was an inside
joke. Okay.
So there you go.
That's fair. I mean, who knows?
Don't say that, Dan. It's definitely
special
not
features
an inside
from
job.
Stages to the Sahara. Production design.
This is
Through
Allied.
The Lens, directing with Robert Zemeckis.
Sure.
A Stitch in Time, the costumes of Allied. Lights, pixels, action, the visual effects of Allied, the swing and sound, the music of Allied, and much more. I wonder how much more.
Yeah, not a lot.
No, I mean, what do you have after costumes, directing, and action? I guess the lighting of Allied.
Is there pull quotes on Allied?
The best boys of Allied. From the Courier Mail AU, which is my hometown paper, riveting romantic thriller. Don't trust the Courier Mail.
No, that sounds like a Wikipedia entry.
From the director of Forrest Gump and Castaway comes a romantic thriller not to be missed, said Mark S. Allen of ABC TV. Academy Award nominee Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Will that change?
It better. The last package. Here we go. This is the most demented one.
Okay, great.
So much pleasure to... In fact, this
is so curated.
This final package contains the DVD, and it's the DVD... Because there's a Blu-ray and a DVD in here, because this film is only available on DVD. It contains the DVD when... I was starting to stress. I was like, am I just getting Dan like a fucking boomer collection? Like, boomers watch Silence of the Lambs. Boomers watch Fury. Alien, probably not. And The Thing are a little bit already curveballs.
Yeah.
This package contains the DVD that makes it one of the proudest achievements of my life.
It's so kind of you to have curated my life in such a manner. To be like, what do you think, Ida? Okay.
I'm just happy there's more packages.
This is all extraordinary.
It's getting dark while we're sitting here.
It is. It's sunset. It's like an evening concert.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sure.
Say what it is.
It's Freddy Got Fingered, directed by Tom Green, which I've heard is good.
It's a great film.
Do I put this on my shelf?
Yes, of course you do.
Okay.
Any pull quotes?
There's special features.
No.
Oh, it's no wonder people can't... No, that's not... Seattle Times, some of the funniest scenes in memory.
Sure, that's true.
That's literally it.
What are the special features? Audio commentary.
Audio commentary by Tom Green. Fantastic. Audience laugh track. That's
Ooh,
quite funny, actually.
That's, great.
That's a good idea for a special feature. Deleted scenes. Easter egg. Open mic with Mike Bullard.
I don't know.
Featurette. The featurette is a bullet point. There is featurette.
Does it say interactive menus? Do you remember when DVDs used to list that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Imagine if they didn't have that. You just have to sit and stare at the screen. Will it? Kid-friendly three-minute version. That's quite funny.
That is very funny.
MTV special making of, theatrical trailer, and TV spots.
Fantastic.
Oh, it says, in terms of the language, it has English, Dolby 5.1, commentary, 2.0 surround, laugh track, 2.0 surround.
Don't you think that's the DVD that throws this all into crisis?
It throws it into crisis.
Yeah, absolutely.
I become, if a Sherlock Holmes comes around to my place to try and like work me out, he's baffled. He has no idea what's going on.
No, it means you can commit any crime you want.
Oh, wow. This also.
What is it?
By the Sea, written and directed by Angelina Jolie Pitt.
Starring?
Starring Angelina Jolie.
And
Brad Pitt. Actually, Bradley it says Joe starring Pitt. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie Pitt. That's a interesting choice.
Wow. It's interesting that she's listed as Angelina Jolie Pitt, because this film is about a couple
falling
apart.
Yeah.
And they got divorced just after this film.
That's incredible. I haven't seen this, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's a fantastic film. It's one of the best films that we're
going to cover. Bonus features, deleted scenes.
Go on.
Gina Rowlands, an inspiration.
Amazing.
Making by the Sea.
Amazing. Amazing.
More ways to access, watch, and collect. Start your ultraviolet collection today.
Yeah, it's UV. It's UV. High quality, Dan.
Good.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
No shortcuts on quality.
It's got strong sex scenes.
It does. You know what the film is about?
Do they see someone having sex?
A couple that peeping Tom on a younger couple.
Huh.
They just watch people having sex.
Fascinating.
Great film, even.
Okay.
What order are you going to watch those films in? Just for my prerogative. Yeah, yeah. What's the first one?
I think the first one is Alien.
I think that's true.
And then I think...
Do you know anything about Alien? Has anyone spoiled any of the moments for you?
I feel like I've heard so much about it and seen so many parodies. But if someone were to say, what happens to each of the characters? I don't really... Like, I know at some point she's upset and a little alien comes out of the big alien's mouth. I know her stomach explodes at some point.
Sure.
That's all you need to know. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Apparently the Alien video game was really good.
Alien Isolation. It was good. I mean, the first film is like unimpeachable.
The first three films I watch are Alien, The Thing, The Silence of the Lambs. Everything else is a crapshoot.
Sure.
But
not Freddy Gold.
Well, no, that's probably last. But I mean, not last of all. Sorry, because the Brad Pitt films I just have to watch in order of the Brad Pitt cast, unless I come to them early. I don't know. I've been doing that. Like I've seen. Like I was thinking of watching.
We'll intersect with films that you have already seen, though.
That is true, but I've been holding off.
I've been
wanting to watch Seven again. I have seen Seven, and then I've been like, can't do that. It's coming up on the Brad Pitt cast.
But By the Sea is coming up in like 6 months' time.
That's true. Sure. No, I could watch that.
It would throw this project into a strange new focus.
I think that must be the case. That's going to be so interesting for us when we get there.
By the Sea. I'm so excited.
There's a plane coming overhead.
And I'm just looking at it. Do you like your presents, Dan?
I don't know if anyone has ever put in so much thought in the presents they've given me in my life.
It gave me so much joy.
I'm really glad. I love them.
It gave me so much joy. I spent a long time
so sorry.
Well, because I was thinking...
I feel terrible.
I was thinking of trading out Fury for World War Z, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
Another
Brad I get
Pitt
that, but that's
film,
not
but
that's
as... hard.
Yeah.
It had to be films that you had said on this podcast that you hadn't seen. And the three most glaring ones felt like Alien, The Thing,
that's fascinating. That's a really beautiful... It's a thoughtful and it's a very generous gift.
Fantastic.
I am really interested to see what you think of yours.
I'm so excited.
You've definitely got me more objects.
Sure.
I did put some thought into it.
Of course.
It took some time.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I will say there were a lot of options.
Sure.
And the option I chose, I thought, this is the one... We'll see.
I'm so excited. It'll come tomorrow. So I guess...
It's supposed to come tomorrow.
I guess the listener will hear it.
In January,
when we do our next episode, which is The Favour, which I was saying to Dan, I don't know how we're going to find a copy of The Favour.
Okay.
It's like a romantic comedy that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah.
I wanted to end with Letterboxd reviews.
We can do that. Is there anything else we want to bring up?
What time
Since
are we
got,
at?
We're doing okay. We're on like 43 minutes.
Fantastic. If there's anything that you want to... thank you to the fans.
Yeah. Well, follow us on... Twitter at Brad Pittcast. Please email us at thebradpittcast@gmail.com. If you have any questions, any concerns, any complaints.
Anything you want us to do.
Anything you want us to do for 2020, the year in Brad Pitt.
Sure. I wanted to...
I'm just going to take the headphones off for a second.
Yeah, the music is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
The two things I wanted to do on Letterboxd, just quickly. Was there anything else you wanted to say? Sorry, Dan.
No, that's all right. Nothing's coming to mind. I'm just kind of reflecting. I mean, what are we like? I think we should do a little retrospective of the episodes we've done.
Sure.
Like, let's think about just quickly. We just spend a few minutes.
Sure.
Thinking about Brad Pitt in the context of these films we've watched, because we haven't done a like we've mentioned things here and there.
Sure.
But like we haven't done
like the project of Brad Pitt where it's
yeah.
At.
I would like to do a check in.
Yeah, sure. My big thing is that what this podcast has, I didn't realize it would become. Not only us constantly trying to work out what our different tastes are, which is part of the exercise of this project, it's also become like a weird portrait of American cinema in a really interesting way.
I was thinking that especially today.
Yeah.
I was thinking how interesting it was that early on we had thought of like you suggested this, if this podcast finds a form after the Brad Pitt cast as American Objects.
Yeah.
And I was thinking watching... So, we recorded this podcast immediately after recording the previous podcast, which was about True Romance. Watching True Romance, I was thinking, that is such an American object. It feels like we're talking about Americana more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what, like... Not all American films are about America, but what films have we seen so far that aren't about America, apart from The Dark Side of the Sun?
In, like, a deep way.
Yeah, like, River asking Runs Through is, serious questions yeah, about the American project.
Absolutely. Even something like Cool World, which is, of course, baffling and bizarre,
yeah.
is about American commerce, American noir. It's found... It's
across
drenched.
The tracks?
Across the
is
tracks.
Is it, like, he's trying to, like, the American dream...
Yeah, absolutely.
...emerge from the trailer park into, like get a scholarship through sports?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been
yeah,
interesting.
Cool World is extremely American.
And seeing this, I think one of the joys of the podcast too has been.
Whoa, oh, Ida! What are you
oh,
looking for?
She just. Oh, Ida just hurt
I think
herself.
She sprained her ankle. Ida,
can you pause for us?
We're going to pause the podcast a little and just take care of Ida. All right, we're back.
We're back. It's Hotel California
it's
playing.
Hotel California time.
And Ida ran out here at great speed and pulled a muscle in her leg.
Yeah, poor dog.
That's what happens when you're an old dog.
She just doesn't know.
She doesn't know. You know what I hope it is?
Tell me.
She's so overjoyed and so happy in a way that she hasn't been before that she keeps pulling muscles because she's stretching her body in a way that hasn't been stretched in many years.
I think that's fair. She's a rescue.
She's a rescue. She raced until she was two. American art.
Yeah.
You're talking what we've unwittingly looked at.
Is that a drone? It is.
There's a drone above us. That's insane.
What the fuck is happening?
I don't know. I think I can't get a photo of it because it's through the trees. That's
because it's spying on us.
Right. It is actually spying on us. We're not insane. It's hovering. Like, what would you say? Like 70 meters above? Is that 40 meters above us? Now it's
and lowering. Now it's gone. That's mad. We should just film every episode of this podcast outside. It's been insane. Unless we get copyright struck for
that,
fucking
that would be interesting to
eagles.
See if that happens. I don't know, man. That was wild.
That
a
was
drone was hovering above us. Is it coming back? I thought it was... You know what I thought it was? I thought it was a herd of mosquitoes descending on us. I thought, well, this is
like
it.
A singular lived mosquito.
Yeah.
Mosquitoes forming a giant mosquito. No, that's not it coming back. That's just Hotel California.
Hotel California.
What has been really interesting about this, right, if we looked at the project of a director,
yeah,
we would be looking at a very different project.
It's true. We'd be looking at a vision, right? At, yeah. like, the development of a voice.
Yeah, which is not... I mean, we've seen Pitt develop, but out of order and weirdly and being
yeah,
asked
and
to do different
forth,
things.
Right,
with,
and people having different ideas of what he's good at and him yeah. kind of pushing against those or leaning into them.
Yeah, and so you've also, like, weirdly, because, as we say, Pitt doesn't form, like, long-standing creative relationships with directors.
Yeah.
There are, like, four filmmakers that he works with more than once.
Sure.
So then you're looking at, like, these hodgepodge nobodies who you'd never have reason to talk about a fucking Sandy Tung project
yeah.
or, like, the Sandy Tung project, the director of Across the Tracks.
Yeah.
So we end up having these wild conversations about what it means to be a creative in a commercial-led field.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about a star who is bankrolling movies.
Definitely. Or like odd films in those directors' oeuvre, like Cool World or something.
Yeah. Or even True Romance.
True Romance,
which is
yeah.
Scott on the back foot a bit working with someone else.
Yeah.
You're getting very bitten by mosquitoes.
A little, sorry. I'm just rolling my sleeves up.
Do we want to quickly do... My plan for the Letterboxd was... looking at the letterbox top 250 and seeing how many you could guess of the, these are the top rated films on the site.
Oh, wow.
Are you ready for number one? Go on, what were you going to say?
Well, so this is the thing. I don't really know Letterboxd.
Sure.
And I don't know if this is like, you know, it's Vertigo or Jaws, right? Or Shawshank or Matrix.
You're speaking the right kind of language, but the first film is a film that, in the True Romance episode,
mm-hmm.
we expressed deep annoyance about having to talk about this film again. This is the top-rated film on Letterboxd.
Not Pulp Fiction.
No. We've come across this film in Letterboxd top four so many times, and we talked about it with some irate kind of noise today.
I don't know.
Parasite.
Oh.
Is the highest
I would never have guessed that because I didn't think it would be a film from this year.
4.6 is the average
vote on
Parasite. What has that film...
It's, you know what it is? It's because people think they're impressive if they're like a foreign film. People care about class.
Don't be rude.
It's true.
It's probably true.
People care about class, and that film has very... I'm so sorry. If you like Parasite, I understand why you like it. There are good reasons to like that film.
It's a good film.
It's a good film. And you could argue for it being a great film, and I would be interested to hear you out. So I'm not saying this about you necessarily if you like Parasite, but if that many people like Parasite that much,
it feels like 62,000 people have given it 5 stars.
A lot of them would want to be impressive for liking a film that is not in English, that is about themes that relate to an American audience.
Yes.
And we all understand that class is an issue, and this film plays with those themes, but does it in such a way that you can, it like abstracts them enough. I mean, it literalizes them in some ways, but sews them into enough of a kind of like surprising or disruptive kind of narrative that you can think you're interesting for liking it. One thing I would say about it as well is that I've seen a lot of people saying like, don't look it up at all. You won't know what's happening. Like, it's so shocking. It's not really.
No.
Like, you can tell exactly how it's going to unfold. It's just there are particular notes in the way it unfolds.
At the end of the first act where you're like,
oh,
spoiler alert for Parasite, you're like, oh, they're going to infiltrate this family.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, it's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
Somehow.
You know it.
Obvious.
Will.
And it's obvious that, like, there's such a tone of menace early on that you're like, oh, this will be bad for people. There will be violence at some point. You know that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that... It's sorry, I'm only down on it in response to it being so exalted, but like...
It's crazy. 4.6 is absolutely
that's
unhinged.
Baffling.
Number two, you could probably predict.
It's interesting that we both feel the same about Parasite, right?
I feel very strongly about it first, but it did very badly in my memory, and a second viewing did not hold
The Godfather?
Up. Yes. What's the third film related to the
Godfather
film you just
two?
Said? Yes. It'd be funny if it was Godfather Part 3.
It would be funny.
Not a good film. I wish I could defend Godfather Part 3 and like prop up some weird exercise that I do, but no. It's
Godfather's
not good.
A good film.
Godfather's pretty good, yeah. Godfather Part 2, pretty good too. You won't guess this film.
Can I try and guess it?
Sure.
The Third Man?
No.
Citizen Kane?
No. I'm not convinced that, not to be rude, but I'm not convinced that you'll know this film.
Okay.
Do you want to guess?
Yeah. No.
Can you guess a film?
I can't guess a film where you think I don't know. That's insane.
Harry Keery.
Oh, yeah. I know of it.
Sure.
But, like...
1962 Japanese samurai drama. Yeah.
I've only heard about it.
Number five is a film in that genre that you will know because it's regularly talked about. It's one of the best films of all time. I don't think you've seen it. It's very long.
Rashomon?
No, same director. Way earlier.
I don't know.
Gets remade in Hollywood.
I don't know.
Seven Samurai.
Oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Number six is a film that you've mentioned. You mentioned a remake of.
Let the Right One In.
Oh, my God, it's raining.
It is raining.
We have to go inside. We've got to go inside. The
mic. And the laptop. I've got to pause it.
Pause.
Okay, we're back. We're back inside. We're inside.
It
suddenly rain.
Started raining. It wasn't meant to rain for weeks.
Yeah, there was nothing predicted. And the water just started to fall out of the sky. There was a drone. There was music.
Ida hurt herself. She's sitting next to us on the couch.
Oh, Ida. Little poor. What were we doing? You were reading Letterboxd.
Should
I was
we
guessing
do the
Godfather
end of the last
2, 3, 4.
I said this is a film that you've referenced a remake of.
Did I say Let the Right One In?
Yes, you did, and you were incorrect.
Okay.
It's an older film. It stars like a classic of American cinema. His name is Henry Fonda. He plays an extremely upstanding person in this film. I gave it 3 stars. My friends gave it 3.5
stars. What is it? Just tell me
stars,
what it is.
12 Angry Men.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. I've seen that. I've seen both, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It's a shot. The remakes are shot for shot, which is very weird.
I think so.
But they're good.
This seventh film I don't think you will have seen.
Okay.
Holocaust drama. Extremely unpleasant Holocaust drama.
The Day the Clown Died. Right.
That would be wild.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Come and See, it's called.
Oh, I've seen bits of that.
Yeah, one of the most distressing films
I started made. Watching it and gave up.
Yeah, it's a tough watch. Number eight is a film you've probably seen.
Ida, what are you
Ida's
doing?
Killing her.
This is going to be hard to listen to, I think.
Should we sit somewhere she's not? Would it be insane
it's,
to do a
It's a real insight into
it?
Joseph's mind that not do we move the dog,
she's
but
been
do we
hurt.
Sit somewhere. I know. No, I know. It doesn't bother me.
The Let's eighth just, film I gave 4.5 stars.
We can just move the microphone. Like, at this point, this film, this podcast episode is total chaos. Let's just get up and with the microphone.
Okay, sure. It's possible that she'll follow us.
It's fine.
The eighth film, highest rated film on Letterboxd, you've possibly seen.
I mean, that's...
Japanese film. Released in 2001.
Tokyo Story? Oh.
No, I gave it 4.5 stars. My friends gave it 5 stars.
You understand how much that does not help me. That's not information I can use.
No one that I have on Letterboxd has given it under 3.5 stars.
A Japanese film from 2001 that I might have seen.
Animated. It caused a big splash.
My Neighbor Totoro?
No, same director.
It's Spirited Away. Yes. Of course it's Spirited Away. Sorry.
Have you seen Spirited Away?
Yeah, of course. Multiple times. It's a great film.
Number 9 is a film that you like that I don't like very much. It's a superhero film. Came out extremely recently. Think like critically beloved.
Oh, wow, really? Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is number 9. That's insane.
4.4 average rating.
I think it's good.
Do you know how many people have given it half a star?
God, people are idiots.
Don't be rude.
Sorry, I really like that film.
200 people have given it half a star. 103,000 people have given it 5 stars.
That's a solid 4-star film for me.
I think that's a 2.5-star film.
Yeah.
In fact, what did I give it? I reviewed it. Do you want to know what I wrote?
Tell me.
I watched it on the plane to LA. I gave it 2.5 stars. I mean, it's certainly kinetic. That was my review.
Yeah.
A little bit of a prick.
I think it's got a sweet story.
Number 10. Directed by Edward Yang. Do you know Yang?
No.
He dies of cancer quite recently, but okay. He's very well beloved. It's called A Brighter Summer Day.
I've never heard of it.
He's bad. That's a bad film. You would like it very much. I'll quickly do a couple.
I'm really being shredded here on the very Brad Pitt cast Christmas.
11 is a Star Wars film.
Not The Last Jedi.
No.
A New Hope? Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Number 12 is an Akira Kurosawa film. About crime. One of his crime films.
Tell me.
High and Low.
Never heard of it.
I'll do the last three more. These are insane. Okay. Number 13 is a film I don't know if you've seen, but we've talked about it. You guessed that it might be number 1.
Jaws?
No, based on a Stephen King short story.
Oh, The Shining?
No, short story.
Oh, short story.
You might not know that this was based on a Stephen King short story.
What is it?
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you like that film?
I've never seen it.
I gave it 3 stars.
Makes sense.
Someone, oh my goodness. Josh Lewis, Josh Lewis, who I followed, gave it 5 stars, and his review says, best movie of all time. That is a joke. Josh Lewis's top 4 favourite films are the John Frankenheimer film Seconds, The Big Heat, Day of the Dead, and The Black Cat.
So that's very funny.
He's
trolling.
He's pulling a joke. Number 14 is the film that you have on your bedroom wall if you're 16 years old.
The Matrix?
No. Same genre, though. Film bro genre. Directed by someone who, when we brought him up on an episode, I went, and that was my
so
evaluation.
Much of that.
You had the same thoughts on this filmmaker as I do.
I bet.
This film's pretty good. I gave it 4 stars.
What is it?
The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, that's a good film. Of course, Nolan, yeah.
And number 15, The Human Condition, Part 3, A Soldier's Prayer. I didn't even ask you to guess that because I wouldn't have been able to guess that.
Is that like a Christian film?
No, there's a Japanese director called Masaki Kobayashi who makes a series of films called The Human Condition. And that's the third one. I guess everyone likes the third one. I haven't seen any of them.
That's fascinating. Yeah. It's also interesting because you would, like, I guess this is, like, people who use Letterboxd, obviously. But what a fascinating sample of a specific kind of people's favourite. Yeah. Well, not even favourite, but films that most people give 5 stars to.
It's just crazy shit in here. Number 55 is Marriage Story.
That's really interesting to me. I'm really interested what a person who sees that film and thinks, That's a Wonderful Film is like, because I had a decent enough time watching it, but I thought it had a lot of problems.
20,000 people think it's a perfect film, 5-star film.
Fascinating.
Lawrence of Arabia is 68. That is a perfect film. Before Sunrise is 78.
That's a perfect film. I know
you
love that film.
Yeah. New Country for Old Men is 82. It's probably good. A perfect film too. 7, starring Bradley J. Pitt.
Is that the highest Brad Pitt film, I wonder?
No, because do you know what's at 90?
Once Upon a Time?
Fight Club.
Oh, jeez.
Where is Once Upon a Time?
Fight Club's a good film.
I haven't seen Fight Club since I was like 17.
I mean,
years
neither
old.
Have I.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is nowhere to be seen.
That's surprising.
Oh my goodness. A Man Escaped, famously owned on DVD by Dan Dixon.
Yeah, part of the same collection as Freddy Got Fingered and Fury.
Now, yeah. Thanks to your friend Joe, Inglourious Basterds.
You know what I have? I think I still have this. I might have thrown it out. I once picked up a Honey Boo Boo DVD off the street.
Incredible.
And it could still be in my apartment somewhere.
Please put that out on display.
It might be being thrown out.
If so, if you
and
put
like
that
a
on display,
fit. Yeah,
you would like disappear because you would become so inscrutable that no one could see
no,
you.
Like, there's no type of guy that
no,
I am.
No, you'd yeah. fall out of the universe. What about my... See, that's the way I get sad at my DVDs. We're sitting across from them now. Look at them. That's the DVD
Straw
of a very specific kind
in
of
the
person.
Mood for Love. Solaris.
Mulholland Drive. Naked Lunch.
Can I borrow Fat Girl in the Mood for Love?
Sure can.
Thank you.
Two great films.
Yeah, I saw that Fat Girl's on Richard Ayoade's Criterion Collection list.
Yeah.
Which was the one you used, identified me as in your... Yeah. That day where you had service replied to 10 million people on Twitter because you offered to respond to people who liked your tweet.
I said, like this tweet and I'll give you the Sight and Sound top 10 list that best sums up your
Sight
vibe.
Sight and Sound, that's right.
And I think I got like 200 likes or something stupid.
And a lot of people you don't...
A lot of people followed me just so I could give them that
you
list.
You don't know them.
No, I don't know them.
But you gave me Richard Ayoade's list, which looked like a great list.
When I said to Brianna, oh, I'm getting all these, I'm blown up, because you were here when I was yeah. having to do that. Brianna was like, what tweet did you do? did you write, like this tweet and I'll suck your dick? It's just like a typical
That's
Brianna. She said it in
really
a very
joke.
Offhanded
I
way.
I remember her saying that.
It was funny.
Yeah.
What was the top 10 list that I gave to myself?
Did you?
I don't think I did.
I think you did.
Do you want me this to be the last thing in this insane episode that like 4 people are listening to? I'll tell you what.
Yeah, if you're still with us at this point,
God damn.
Email us and Joe will give you a Sight and Sound top 10 list.
I will. Well, I mean, most of the people who would be listening are probably known to me, in which case I gave them Sight and Sound top 10 lists anyway. But what if... I mean, I don't... You know, neither of us are going to like... kill anyone or anything.
I don't plan to.
But imagine if we like... got involved in some kind of crime,
uh-huh.
and then people listen back to this podcast episode
yeah.
to find out who we were.
They're maniacs.
Yeah. Yeah, so some like reporter from like Channel 9 is listening to
yeah.
us in order to write about like...
Yeah, do background. Or if, I think more to the point is if one of us get, more than likely than us being implicated in a crime is one of us getting murdered, I think. And then that,
we're
the victim.
More likely to be a victim than a murderer.
That's definitely true of me.
Is that... I don't want to feel that I'm that close to being a victim.
Just I want to feel like I'm pretty distant from being a murderer.
More that you'd like to be killed than you would to be a killer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I've
that's
never
true of
I've
me
I've never
too.
Thought about that before. It's never, like, that particular
it's
formulation has never
phrasing.
Occurred to me. It is interesting though, right?
Because like, you don't want to feel like you're very close to being killed. So
no.
is there some, like, primal self-defense mechanism?
It's a real would you rather.
Yeah, that thinks
killed or killed. Be killed or killed.
Yeah, would you rather be a murderer or would you rather be murdered? Oof, blood dish. I have bad dreams.
I mean, it's like the button, right? It's because we're not giving any information about who murders us or who we're murdering.
Yeah,
like
true.
The Twilight Zone button.
True. What about, would you prefer to murder Joe or be murdered by Joe? And I said about you.
Well, be murdered by Joe because I know you're a good guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like...
I'd understand. If you had to kill me, I'd understand that you would have to be doing it for some kind of reason.
Yeah.
Which would make
likewise.
Me feel better.
Would you rather murder me or be murdered by me?
I'd prefer to be murdered by you. Because taking
yeah.
our friendship as it okay. is up to that point, then I could say, like, make it quick or something, you know?
Yeah, I would too.
This look of sincerity and Dan Dixon's face. Do you want to know which Sight and Sound top 10 list sums up my vibe?
I would love to.
I'll tell you the 10 films first and then I'll tell you whose they are. King Kong, the original
Great.
1933 film. Eraserhead, 1976, by David Lynch.
I've got a guess as to who this is.
Guess at the end. Do
okay.
you want to? I Am Cuba, by Mikhail Kalistov. I haven't seen that film.
Amour by Michael Haneke.
Interesting.
Scorpio Rising by Kenneth Anger. This is going to start to give it away. I tried to keep it. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Angst. Do you know that
no,
film by Gerard Cargill? It's Cargill's only film. It's about a serial killer. It's okay. Extremely good. Salo, or the 120 Days of the Sodom.
Okay.
Taxi Driver.
Mm-hmm.
And Un Chien Andalou by Louis Buñuel.
It's not Noé, is it?
It is
Noé.
So when I was doing this...
You know, the first person I was going to say with the first two?
Yeah, sure.
I was going to say Peter Jackson.
Sure.
Because he remade King Kong.
Sure.
And Eraserhead seems like a Jackson-y kind of thing.
Sure. Jackson's never done this list.
I would be interested to see what it was.
I would be interested too. Do you want to hear...
Why is Dan guessing on this? No, it's fine. I quite enjoy it. I just worry for the listener's sake because I'm so stupid.
Shush. Do you want to know that Noé's blurb? This is the list of films that have had the greatest impact on me or influenced me the most in my life. I had to leave out films against my will. I had to leave out films by Murnau, Lang, von Stroheim, Fassbinder, Eustache, Cavalier, Cronenberg, which all featured in my much more extensive initial list. 2001 A Space Odyssey is the film I have seen more times than any other, 40 times or more. My life altered when I discovered it when I was about 7 in Buenos Aires. It was my first hallucinogenic experience, my great artistic turning point, and also the moment when my mother finally explained what a fetus was and how I came into the world. Without this film, I would never have become a director.
Incredible.
King.
Imagine having such a destiny laid out for you.
Just because you show up at 2001 A Space Odyssey. I gave that list to my friend Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love Kai. He was appreciative I'd given him the list. I don't think he understood what an honor it was for me to be like, this is my list.
Yeah.
And I love you. It is also your
Hopefully
list.
Hopefully Kai's listening.
Kai's not listening.
Okay.
But Kai, if you are listening, because we've been indicted in some terrible crime and you want to get a head start because you're like, I know this guy. I'll write the biography.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, biographers.
Biographers, yeah.
I have to go through all the Brad Pitt cards.
Yeah, in 60 years' time.
Mm.
Which one of us are they writing the biography of? You?
I don't know.
Yeah, you.
Hey, what? I don't like the tone.
No, there's no. It's not dismissive. I'm just dead, that's all.
Okay.
Is that it? Do we have anything more?
I mean, people write biographies of short-lived.
Of short-lived people? That's true.
Anyway.
That's true. I shouldn't discount myself just because of reasons of death.
Live fast. Leave a Beautiful Corpse is said twice in the
True
previous
romance.
Episode film. Hey, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
It's astonishing how quickly this episode fell apart.
I mean, literally, almost.
Do you remember the start of this episode? We were quite put together.
We were eating ice cream, eating sundaes. Ida damaged herself. It started raining. A drone surveilled us.
The drone! I mean, we can decompress off mic, but the drone's insane.
It was weird because we heard it first. I'm not loving this era. I'm not loving 2019.
I don't love drones.
Hopefully 2020 will be better.
It won't be. There's a presidential election.
I'll be in America in January. I'll leave just before the presidential primaries start.
Is that good or bad? That sounds bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
2020 will find a way to make it better.
Oof.
With the Brad Pitt cast.
The Brad Pitt cast
will there'll be more episodes of the Brad Pitt cast in 2020.
Sure.
Let's be positive.
We may as well be. We won't be finished the Brad Pitt cast
at the end of 2020. Yeah. No, we'll both be dead. That would be horrible if one of us is. No, we're going to live through 2020 and...
say if one of us is...
So both of us are.
Then someone makes a documentary about us being killed and this is the clip they play at the end. And there's like chilling,
sad music.
Right.
This episode really has fallen apart. So, we'll see you next year.
We'll see you in 2020 with The Favour. I don't know how we're going to watch
we'll work it out.
We might just have to find the PDF of the script and just read the script and use the theatre of our mind. I can't find it anywhere else.
I'm shutting this down. Bye.
See ya.